Okay. So tonight we go from verses 30 to 50, and we'll finish the canto. Verse 30. Among these, everyone settle very quickly because I want to concentrate, so get your seats and sit down. Among these jewel-like women were eight principal queens, headed by Rukmini. I have already described them, one after another, or king, along with their sons. So we've read previously during this section that these queens were directly and indirectly expansions of the gopis. So they are very special personalities. And there was a large part of the 10th canto, the middle section, which was dedicated to Krishna's rescuing these particular queens, the eight principal, because they are the eight principal gopis, was manifested as these queens. So then we heard the pastime of how Krishna rescued Rukmini, Satyabhama, Kalindi, Mitravinda, Lakshmana, like they were all. So there was a large pastime which was there, which shows their predominant position. It's interesting that the final chapter of the 10th canto is discussing this, Krishna's relationship with indirectly the gopis, because the queens are the gopis from one angle of vision, and the fact that the final chapter emphasizes or focuses on his relationship with his queens, it shows that this is the highest rasa. This is what gives Krishna the greatest satisfaction. So it's like Krishna is revealing to us or showing us at the very end, this is what is in my heart. This is what is dearest to me. These are the things that I am most absorbed in. So there was a description of these. They're only mentioned here very briefly, but if you go back through the canto, there was a lengthy description of how Krishna attained each of the eight principal gopis. Any points?
So eight, when you say eight, is it that
Yeah, if you go back through your notes, you'll see who the eight are.
Yeah.
It's all mentioned.
So these eight principal things,
yeah, they
are the expansion of it.
We explained that so many times. So many times we explained that. Let's just stick to questions which are more relevant. Not questions like, I've explained this 1,000 times, so okay. Why ask something? If I explain it 1,000 times, don't ask me another time to explain it.
Yeah, but you know how you said that Sanatana Goswami, you are the Yamuna. But the Yamuna is not the principal gopis.
Yeah, but I've explained it so many times. So
maybe I missed it.
Maybe. But this is going back a few years. It should be in your notes. These things are there. The Supreme Lord Krishna, whose endeavor never fails, begot 10 sons in each of his many wives. So this shows potency. It actually says that when men have male children, that means they are potent. When they have female children, it means the man is less potent. So Krishna is showing his potency. He has 10 sons to each queen, which shows his power, his potency. And then each queen also gives birth to one daughter. So it just shows how powerful Krishna is. It's not a material thing, because Krishna is not like a material man. Materially, we say if a man gives birth to children, then he has potency. If he gives birth to girls and sees it less powerful. For Krishna, this is not a consideration. Still, just to show his potency, then he has 10 children. Now, what is particularly potent is that Krishna can maintain them all. So 16,108 queens. Right? 10 sons, that means 160,080 suns. So meditate on that, how powerful that is. That Krishna can have 160,000 children. This shows Krishna's unlimited potency and power.
They can army. Like an army.
Yeah, like an army. Yeah. So 160,000 children. So it describes here that Krishna's endeavor never fails. This is when you see someone who is very powerful. Someone who is powerful, their endeavor will not fail. Right? If you are failing all the time, that means not so much potency, is there? Then you have to go and get association with those who have potency. And by their association, you will also become potent. Manvi's sons, all possessing unlimited valor. 18 were Maharajas of great renown. Now hear their names from me. They were Prajumna, Aniruddha, Diptiman, Banu, Samba, Matu, Brihadbanu, Chitrabanu, Vrika, Aruna, Pushkara, Vedabahu, Shrutadev, Sunandana, Chitrabahu, Virupa, Kavi, and Nyagrota. So we're hearing about the prominent personalities. Of course, there's 160,000 children, but 18 were said to be most prominent. So you can imagine the strength of Krishna's army, the strength of the protection. This is the duty of the Kshatriya. The Kshatriya is meant to have prominent children, children who will become rulers themselves. Lord Krishna has given birth to people who are practically as powerful as him, so that they can also rule on his behalf. That is the system. And actually the system is that the devotees were meant to develop Krishna conscious children. And the children are meant to run ISKCON. The devotee children. They're meant to become prominent and become leaders in ISKCON, actually. So we need to concentrate more on that. Because so far so many of the children are going off and doing other things. But actually they're meant to be taking over. Just like Brinda wants to become the next temple president in Melbourne. Didn't you tell me? Oh no, it wasn't that. Jai Krishan said that? You don't remember. Okay. Maybe your dad told me, I can't remember. So the point is that the kids, if they become devotees, then they can make others into devotees. They can become the leaders in ISKCON. We're always concentrating making devotees outside. But if you can make your children into devotees, not easy, but if you can do it, then they can also become the leaders in ISKCON. So Krishna made 160,000 children, and each one of them was a devoted member of the Yadu dynasty to continue the dynasty on. O best of kings, of these sons begotten by Lord Krishna, the enemy of Madhu, the most prominent was Rukmini's son, Prajumna. He was just like his father. The great warrior, Prajumna, married Rukmini's daughter, Rukmavati, who gave birth to Aniruddha. He was as strong as 10,000 elephants. So in the material sense, why do people have children?
You continue the lineage.
Yeah, you continue the lineage, you continue the dynasty.
Yes.
So people can continue. But actually, from Krishna's point of view, the dynasty is to maintain the earth. If we're going to produce children, then you want them to make a significant difference to the earth, become prominent leaders, right? And actually improve the earth. Doesn't always happen that the kids end up like that. Sometimes they just become self-absorbed and just trying to. But actually, that's the point. If you have children, we're training them so they can also become great leaders, right? And change the earth. Because the earth needs to be changed right now. Right? You've heard of Greta Thunberg? Anyone heard of? No one? Okay. She's a 14-year-old girl. Are you on Instagram or? No? Snapchat? You don't have a phone?
From Sweden.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, from Sweden. Yeah. So she's a 14-year-old girl, and at the moment she is the leader of everyone on the planet to change the climate situation. Because actually the biggest problem we have right now is basically the climate situation. Right? Climate change. It's more of a problem than what we probably realize, many of us. But actually that's the problem. She's a 14-year-old girl, and she's at the moment, she's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a yacht because she's stopped flying in planes because planes are creating too many greenhouse gas emissions. So she's on a yacht sailing from London to New York to meet with the United Nations to speak about climate change. Right? Very powerful leader. These are the kind of kids we want. Actually change the planet on Krishna's behalf. Okay, she's not a devotee, but at least she's working towards something positive. That's the point. The children need to become like this, right? Not just absorbed in their own little lives, just worrying about their Facebook personalities or Instagram personality. But actually make a difference to the world. That is the goal. So if you can make devoted children who can change the world, then that is the best offering you can do. So Krishna and his dynasty were there to maintain the earth. Rukmi's daughter's son Aniruddha married Rukmi's son's daughter Rochana. From her was born Vajra, who would remain among the few survivors of the Yadu's battle with clubs. So who is Vajra? Vajra.
Vajranath?
Yeah, Vajranath. Yeah.
He has established
a
temple.
Yeah, so who is he? Great grandson of Krishna, yeah. And what did he do?
He established a temple for the deities.
More than that. Yeah, more than that. But yeah. So when Krishna left, because as we read through Canto 11 and 12, then when Krishna leaves the earth, all the Yadus were taken also. Right? All the members of the Yadu dynasty. You know, they also disappeared. So then, Vajranath, he stayed. He was one, the great-great-grandson of Krishna. So then he went through Vrindavan, right? And he discovered all of the places where Krishna performed his pastimes. Right? He named the different places. Right? He built temples there. And he established deities. So Radha Govinda, Radha Manmohan, Gopinath, who are now in Jayapur. Right? Those deities were actually installed by him. They are the original deities installed in Vrindavan. So that was his service. So that when we go to Vrindavan, everything is still established so that we can understand where the holy places in Vrindavan are.
He is the
head of Uttara. Who is Uttara?
She is the wife of Abhimanyu.
Of Abhimanyu. Yeah. And who was their son? Abhimanyu and Uttara, they gave birth to? Pradikshi Maharaj. So then, Vajra. Then he established Vrindavan with the help of Uttara, who was the wife of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna.
Because she has seen Krishna.
She saw Krishna personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he took the help of Uttara.
Yeah. And then they re-established the holy dharma of Vrindavan.
That's right.
Yeah. All the 12 forests.
Yeah.
and Vrindavan. So we know where everything is. When you go there, now you know where everything is. There's the mercy of Vrajana. Otherwise you go there, you won't know where any of it is. And he established the forests, the temples, the deities, just so we could understand. So when we go, and then much of it was lost, and then the six Goswamis, they had to re-uncover it. Rupa Goswami rediscovered Radha Govinda. He was buried in the earth.
Yeah.
Right? And then he found him and built the temple of Govindaji, and then he was taken to Jaipur for protection.
Every day, milk, the cow used to come and pour the milk, and that's how he was feeding the earth.
Yeah. And then he knew where the deity was because he saw the cow was dropping milk, same place every day. Mm. And then when they dug, then the deity was there.
This it was Krishna who came to tell him, like a little boy.
Mm. Same as Madhavendra Puri, the same pastor.
Yeah.
They cause so many problems. That's why I didn't become a Muslim. Caused too many problems. Because they eat meat. You know, they eat the meat. It's not good. And here is we only have vegetarian food. Offered to Krishna. I don't eat the meat. It's not good. From Vajra came the Pratibahu, whose son was Subahu. Subahu's son was Shantasen, from whom Shantasen was born. No one born in this family was poor in wealth or progeny, short-lived, weak, or neglectful of Brahminical culture. Okay. So these are the qualifications of the leader. If you act piously, then good fortune will come to you. If you don't act piously, good things will not happen to you. So these Kshatriyas, they respected Brahminical culture. If you respect Brahmanas, if you respect devotees, right? If you offer respect to the Vaishnavas, to the Brahmanas, to the cows, then you will get the blessings. If you don't offer respect, you will not get the blessings. Right? And then your life will become very difficult. So if you want blessings, if you want a happy life, then you have to look after cows, you have to look after Brahmanas, you have to look after women, children, and old people. Right? And if you do this, then your life will become auspicious. And then good things will happen. If Krishna wants, because Krishna won't make bad things happen to you, to make you detached from the material world. It's up to Krishna, what he wants to do. If Krishna wants to look after you, then he will. If he doesn't, he will. But the general principle is, if you worship the Brahmanas of your culture and pious, then good things will come. So as devotees, we always offer respect to the devotees, to the Brahmanas, to the Vaishnavas, the cows, and then good things will take place. Otherwise, if you don't offer respect, then nothing auspicious will come in your life. The Yadu dynasty produced innumerable great men of famous deeds, even in tens of thousands of years, O king. One could never count them all. I have heard from authoritative sources that the Yadu family employed 38,800,000 teachers just to educate their children. Who can count all the great Yadavas, when among them King Ugrasena alone was accompanied by an entourage of 30 trillion attendants? Do you actually believe all this?
Yes. 100%.
30 trillion attendants. 38 million teachers. You actually believe this? Is it true?
It must be.
Oh, that's a lot. It must be God. If it's not God, this is not possible.
Is that more than the population
of the earth? 7 billion, yeah. So we're talking about 30 trillion, yeah, so it's more than the earth.
100 billion is 1 trillion.
100?
100 billion is 1 trillion.
Okay, so 100 billion. So it's much more than what's on the earth. Yeah,
not even a fraction of the
earth. Yeah. And that's just in?
Attendance.
Dwarka. All these people in Dwarka. How big is Dwarka?
96,000 miles.
Yeah, it's an island, but how big is it?
96
square miles. That's not so big. That's like, you know, I don't know, a few hundred kilometers. It's not so big. It's like from here to Geelong or something like that. That's Dwarka. You know, drive down to Geelong, that's about the size of Dwarka, something like that. Or from here to Hare Krishna Valley, so. So it's about that big. That's, you know, Dwarka, like a big square size. Right. And inside there you have 38 million teachers. That's a lot. So this is Achincha Shakti. How does Krishna do it? Inconceivable. Krishna can do it. He can do anything. So if he wants to have 38 billion teachers and 30 trillion members of the Yadav dynasty who are following King Ugrasena, it's all possible. How does he do it? Who knows?
But why does he need so many?
Why does he need so many?
Attendance.
It's like the entire Yadav dynasty. So Krishna just wants, he's being merciful, so he allows so many devotees to offer service. He gives so many people the talent and the ability to offer service. So this is the system.
To serve his nana.
What's that?
To serve his nana.
To serve his...
They call his nana. Grandfather.
Ugrasena. Yeah, to serve Ugrasena. Yeah. So this is the system. So many are there. It shows Krishna's unlimited potency. It shows the power of the Holy Dham. The Holy Dham can take unlimited people. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know the Jehovah's Witnesses? Yeah. Hands up here if you're a Jehovah's Witness. You're a Jehovah's Witness?
No, I'm not.
You just put your hand up.
No.
Yeah. Maybe you are one, I don't know. So Jehovah's Witness people, they say only 144,000 people can fit into the kingdom of God. That's why we didn't join that
religion.
Huh? 144,000. Yeah, so as many as you can fit in the MCG, that is what is in the kingdom of God. No. So then we don't, that's why we don't accept that. Because that puts a limitation on Krishna. Right? 30 trillion, right? That is more acceptable. Because it means Krishna can house 30 trillion people in Dwarka. Right? That shows Krishna's potency. Because it means the Dham is unlimited in potency. You can't put limitations on Krishna. If you limit him, then you don't understand God's position. The savage descendants of Diti, who had been killed in past ages in battles between the demigods and demons, took birth among human beings and arrogantly harassed the general populace. To subdue these demons, Lord Hari told the demigods to descend into the Yadu dynasty. They comprise 101 clans, O King. Because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Yadavas accepted him as their ultimate authority. And among them, all those who were his intimate associates especially flourished. So Krishna was not the king of Dwarka. Who was the king? Ugrasen. Who was Ugrasen? His grandfather. Right? Krishna could have been the king. Who killed Kamsa?
Krishna.
So he killed Kamsa, he could have become the king. He killed Kamsa, and then he said to his grandfather, please, you become the king. Because right? Krishna is not full of envy. Everyone in the material world is full of envy. You want to become the leader. But Krishna, no, you become. I will serve you. Krishna is cultured. But even though he was not the king, everyone saw him as the leader. Even when he was young, he was in Vrindavan, he was like that. His mother used to say to him, don't go away from Balaram. Balaram will protect you. And Krishna used to say, I am the leader. Not Balaram. I am the leader. His mother would say anyway, but you just follow Balaram. But Krishna said, I am the leader. Not Balaram. I am. That's how Krishna thinks. So everyone follows Krishna. Even Balaram follows Krishna. But then Krishna offers respect to Balaram out of respect because he is Dalji. He is the older brother. So it says here that anyone who is an associate of Krishna, they immediately flourish. What does this mean? Yeah, it means if you devote your life to Krishna, everything will become auspicious. Right? If you devote your life to Krishna, everything is auspicious. Right? You'll be given everything. Spiritually, and if Krishna wants, materially also. Anything can happen by the mercy of Krishna. If you serve Krishna, you will get so many blessings. If Krishna wants, he might take it all away as well. The Vrishnis were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they forgot their own bodies while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, and so on. So this is perfect Krishna consciousness. When you become fully absorbed in Krishna, you forget about material activities. You do not worry about material things. Whatever takes place, that takes place. You just want to serve Krishna. Have you ever had that experience? You just lose attraction to everything in the material world. Bathing, eating, playing, doing anything. You just want to serve Krishna. You just want to be with Krishna. Have you ever had that experience?
This is small moments.
Yeah, for small moments, we experience like that. We just want to serve. you forget about sleeping. Have you ever had that experience? Just so absorbed in serving Krishna, you just forget about sleeping. You didn't sleep. You had some service, went into the night, so you just kept doing it. Because you just forgot. You don't want to sleep. I want to do my service, I don't want to sleep. Sleep is a waste of time. Prabhupada says sleep is death. So you just fully absorb yourself. You forget about everything. I remember one time I was serving my Guru Maharaj on the Navadvip Mandal Parikram. And then I was his servant, so he would sit down and take prasad. I eat more than him. I eat a lot. He just eats like medium amount. So, yeah, he would sit down and take prasad, so I would sit and take prasad. Hundreds of devotees there. But then, normally I would eat a lot, but because I had to serve him, I would just eat quickly and then just go and serve him. And then I noticed, normally I get hungry if I don't eat enough. But because I was serving him, I just forgot, just eat whatever I could and then just go and serve. And then I didn't get hungry. So sometimes we get absorbed in service to Krishna, service to Guru, and then you forget about all these material things. So everyone in Dwarka is like that. They're so absorbed in Krishna, they don't care. Sleeping, eating, all these things, doesn't matter. Just serve Krishna. If you get something to eat, that's good. If you get time to sleep, that's good. If you don't, just serve Krishna. What's the problem? That is Krishna consciousness. That's when you know you're advancing. Srila Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada only slept for 2 hours. No time, because he just wanted to serve Krishna. Eating, Prabhupada not eating something. See, Prabhupada just eating right here. Right here. Prabhupada just eating. You see the picture. Prabhupada's eating right there. On that table. And this lap. And where's the, over there, the plate and the cups are there. Made of stone. Stone is said to be the most opulent. If you eat off stone, it's considered the most pure and the most opulent. Even more than gold. So Prabhupada would eat off the stone marble. So Prabhupada's so absorbed. Practically no time. And in the end, by Prabhupada's Ancha Lila, his final pastimes, in Vrindavan, in the last year, Prabhupada said, long ago, I gave up eating and sleeping. Oh no, sorry. He said, long ago, I gave up mating and defending. He said, now I've given up eating and sleeping also. At the very end, Prabhupada just fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's what happens when you're a pure devotee. That's how you know if you're becoming a pure devotee. Eating, sleeping, all these things not so important. At least do it one day a year. If you can't do it every day, do it one day. Which day is that? No. That's better. Yeah. When is Jamashtami?
Saturday.
Which Saturday?
24.
Which Saturday?
24.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
It's Jamashtami.
Yeah.
Really? Krishna. Okay. Then we better get serious. Jamashtami, no sleeping, no eating. Right? And just all day serving Krishna and chanting the holy names. That's all. One day of the year. Give yourself 100% to Krishna. One day of the year. That's all. And the other days, okay, try your best. But one day, everything to Krishna. Idam Krishna, idam nam mama. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Just one day. That's all. You sure it's a seller? Okay. I will come. Okay, now this is a very important verse because we're going to hear about five things, and these five things Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains these are the special glories of Krishna. Why Krishna came. And we've just studied for the last 3 years plus why Krishna came. It took us 14 years. And thank you, so many of you came for 14 years. I appreciate that. He came for a long time. And many have come more recently. But for the last 3-4 years, we've just studied Canto 10. About Krishna's life. Now, why did he appear? There's five special glories which describe the purpose of his appearance. So we'll go through these now. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur analyzing them. The heavenly Ganges is a holy place of pilgrimage because her waters wash Lord Krishna's feet. But when the Lord descended among the Yadus, his glories eclipsed the Ganges as a holy place. But those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. The unattainable and supremely self-satisfied goddess of fortune, for the sake of whose favor everyone else struggles, belongs to him alone. His name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. He alone has set forth the principles of the various disciplic successions of sages. What wonder is it that he, whose personal weapon is the wheel of time, relieved the burden of the earth? Okay. So we'll read the first paragraph. Would have abundant room?
From beginning to end, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has been exclusively dedicated to reciting the pastime of Lord Krishna in Vrindavana, Mathura, and Dwaraka. As Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti points out, this verse sums up the 10th canto by mentioning five special glories of Sri Krishna, that even his expansion, plenary portion, and incarnation do not display.
Mm. And the next paragraph.
First, Lord Krishna's reputation eclipsed that of the holy Ganges when he descended into the Brahmin dynasty. Previous to this, Mother Ganges was the most sacred of all Tirthas, being the water that had birthed the Lord Vamadeva's lotus feet. Another river, the Yamuna, became even greater than Ganges by contacting the dust from Sri Krishna's feet in the district of Raja and Mathura. The renowned Yamuna in my domain of Mathura is hundreds of times greater than the Ganges. About this, there can be no dispute, O Paras, Varahapura.
The Ganges is considered more pure when it comes in contact with Mayapur. And the Yamuna is supremely pure because it comes in contact with Vrindavan. Right? So this shows the exalted nature of the holy Dharma, Braja, and Vrindavan, and Mayapur, which is non-different. So this is one of the special glories of Krishna's appearing on earth 5,000 years ago. He established the significance of the holy place of Vrindavan. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was his mission. Right? He sent the six Goswamis there to excavate Vrindavan, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur excavated Mayapur Dham, which is non-different. Yeah? And this shows the special significance. That's why Krishna came. It's one of the special reasons why Krishna came, to establish the holy Dham, to lead the holy Dham, to reveal the holy Dham, so that when we go there, we understand its significance and its speciality and its necessity. Srila Prabhupada actually instructed every devotee in ISKCON should go to the holy Dham once a year. Prabhupada gave that instruction. Even when Prabhupada was on the planet, and there were devotees in ISKCON, 300 devotees flew to Mayapur. So that's $1,000 an air ticket. So that's $300,000, which back then in the 70s, that's a lot of money. And then Rameshwara Prabhu, who's one of Prabhupada's servants, assistants, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, maybe we should not send everyone, then we can save $300,000, and then we can print more books. Then we can distribute more books. And Prabhupada said no. He said everyone should go. So that is the significance of that Lord Chaitanya, the Prabhupada, the Krishna, put on the holy Dham. So Lord Krishna came to establish the pastimes of Vrindavan so that we become attracted to him. Okay, next paragraph. Sharada Rata. Can you read the next?
The second one?
Yeah.
Second, Lord Krishna gave liberation not only to his surrendered devotees, but also to those who considered themselves his enemies. Devotees like the cowherd girls and Raj and others attended his personal association by entering into his eternal pleasure pastime in this future world. By inimical demons killed by him, attend the Sahaja Bhakti of merging into his divine form. When he was present on this earth, Lord Krishna's compassion extended to his family, friends and servants, and also to his enemies and their families, friends and servants. Great authorities like Lord Brahma I mention this fact. Sat Varsa Iva Utna Api Sat Kulatvam Eva Devavita. My Lord, you have already given yourself to Krishna and her family members simply because she dressed herself as a devotee.
Very good. So,
it's very kind.
Yeah, when Krishna kills someone, then he can even reposition them in Vaikuntha, as was done with Putana. It says the Putana became a nurse, datri, in Vaikuntha. She became an eternal associate. Normally, when the Lord in his other incarnations, when he kills someone, they attain Suyuja Mukti, which means they merge into his Brahman effulgence. But to actually go all the way to Vaikuntha, then Krishna is giving very special compensation, very special mercy to allow someone to go directly. Even Putana. And what did Putana do? She tried to kill him. What was the only good thing she did? She dressed up like a devotee. She put on tilak and dressed like a devotee. So just by doing that, just dressing like a devotee, Krishna sent her all the way to the spiritual world. Even though she came to kill him. Okay, third paragraph. That is also there. That is also there. Jagannath Rampur, you want to read that?
Third, Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Narayana's constant companion, whom great demigods serve menially to win her slight favor, was unable to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotees and Braj. Despite her eagerness to participate in the class dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerities she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence. The sweetness and intimacy Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. As Sri Uddhava says, to exhibit the strength of his spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his human-like pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him, and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body.
So even Lakshmi Devi, if you go to Vrindavan, you cross the river Jamuna from our temple, you go to a place called Bilvavan, or Srivan. And this is where Lakshmi is performing tapasya in order to get Krishna. In order to enter the Rasa Lila, right? But she cannot do it, right? Even Lakshmi Devi herself cannot become a gopi in Vrindavan, right? In order to become a gopi in the Vrindavan, only the most qualified people can enter, right? Because you have to follow in the mood of the gopis. What did Lord Chaitanya come to teach us? Specifically, he came to teach us that of all types of love of Godhead, the love of the residents of Vrindavan is considered the highest. Vrindavan is the supreme abode. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme scripture. These are the things that Lord Chaitanya came to teach. Right? Now, how can we enter into something which is so exalted? Because it says that in Nectar of Instruction, it says, if you want to enter into Vrindavan, you have to follow the footsteps of an internal associate of Krishna, an eternal resident. So Jamuna Devi, every morning we hear the Govindam prayers. So that is sung by Prabhupada's disciple, Jamuna Devi. So one time, she read that in Nectar of Instruction, you have to follow an eternal associate. And she said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, are you one of these eternal associates? Can we follow you? Prabhupada said yes. If you follow Prabhupada, Prabhupada's mood. If you follow the sadhana and ISKCON very strictly, then, and if you have the right sincerity and desire, then within your heart, Prabhupada will reveal all these things. You'll understand. You'll become attracted to Vrindavan. And you'll develop qualification, right, to enter into following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. That is Srila Prabhupada's message. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Prabhu, recently we visited Srivan, and one of the Chaupati disciples.
Who's talking? Yes.
One of the devotees was explaining why Lakshmi Devi could not enter. She did not want to touch the cow dung or all this thing. When if you are simple, then only you can be attracted to Krishna. Otherwise, you can't.
She didn't want to touch cow dung?
Yeah.
Hands up if you don't like touching cow dung. Then you come to Hare Krishna Valley on Go Puja, and we will make you touch cow dung. Because then that will give you qualification to enter into Vrindavan Dham. You have to be attached to touching the cow dung. And you have to drink the urine of the cow. Did anyone drink the urine from the cow? At the farm, we do. You know, because he went on this and put the hand in. Mahaprabhu saw. No problem. Okay. It's actually very nice. When you develop the taste for it, it's very nice. Cow urine. Good enough, Krishna drinks it. Good enough for Krishna. Good enough for you. Don't drink the cow urine. No problem. Touch the cow dung.
This you do is you should drink it in Bhishma Panchak.
Yeah, in Bhishma Panchak. But we drink it all the time. We drink it. And then the cow dung, you touch it. No problem. This is part of the qualification to enter in Vrindavan.
Do you eat the
cow?
What's
that? Do we eat it? I never did that.
Because that's what they say, you know, 5 days of Vishnu Panchak.
Yeah, they eat cow, but I think it's only a very small amount, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd eat a small amount, I think.
They said all the stuff which comes from cow.
Yeah, each day you eat, you have something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had the cow dung before. Yeah, cow dung is pavitra. It is pure. So yeah, you could take it. Yeah, if you take the cow urine, it cleanses many diseases. Which is nice. Okay. Number four. That's a new one too.
What the name Krishna is superior to the name Narayana and to those of all of Lord Krishna's other expansions. These two syllables, Krish and Na, combine together to destroy all viciousness and illusions. When recited, the name Krishna becomes Sutta Matha. That is to say, the recitation of Krishna's name totally crushes the excellence of all other spiritual practices described in the scriptures. In the words of Brahma Purana, by uttering the single name of Krishna just once, one attains the same benefit as they gained by reciting Lord Vishnu 1,000 names 3 times.
So here it is saying this is the fourth reason, special reason why Krishna came. Because he wanted his name to be chanted. Prior to Krishna coming, maybe the name of Krishna was not as prominent. But the name of Krishna is all powerful. Right? It is the most auspicious name by Krishna. And it can purify one to the highest degree. Therefore, Krishna came and he left his holy name so that we can chant it and we become supremely purified. Right? Actually, all perfection, Sarva Siddhi, is experienced by chanting the holy name of Krishna. And Jamuna, you can read the last.
The Lord Krishna solidly reinstated Dharma, the bull of religion, on his four legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. Thus, Dharma could once again become Gotra, the protector of the earth. Sri Krishna also established the religious function of Govardhan Puja to honor his favorite hill, the cows, and the Brahmanas. He also became the hill himself, assuming his form to accept the cowherd's offering. Moreover, he cultivated the dharma or loving nature of Praja's divine cowherd, Gotras, whose love for him has never been equal. He suggests a few of the wonderful features of Lord Krishna's unique personality.
So this is the fifth reason why Krishna came. Because he wanted to establish Sanatana Dharma. And especially in the mood of bhakti, Snan Dharma means bhakti yoga. The mood of devotion, which is practiced by the residents of Vrindavan. That's especially why Krishna wanted to come. And he wanted to establish Govardhan Puja, which is coming up. The worship of Giriraj. Right, the supreme position of Giriraj. Giriraj is here. Krishna has taken the form of Govardhan Hill. And he still remains on the earth. Right? He is one of the few things which is still on the earth since Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. And Giriraj is non-different from Krishna. If you have darshan of Govardhan Hill, you're taking darshan of Krishna himself. People say, where is Krishna? No, Krishna is here. He's here in the form of his holy name, of Govardhan Hill, of all the deities. So by taking advantage of this, you become fully purified. Any points? Yes, that's right. Yeah. So what are the five things? What special reasons why Krishna came? Yeah, to establish the holy dharma. Yeah. Then?
To glorify the name.
Liberation to surrender.
Yeah, to give liberation. Yes.
Also brings holy things.
Yep.
Lakshmi Devi position.
Yeah, to show the supreme position. Yeah. Then? Yeah, to leave his name, which is supreme, and then establish the Sanatana Dharma. So it's important, this five. You should study and meditate very deeply on it. This purport is very important, so you should read it and meditate on it very deeply. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivas, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Deviki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Deviki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy.
Amarendra Das gave a very good lecture. He gave two lectures on this verse.
Amarendra Prabhu spoke on this verse. 5 hours on this verse. So it's an important verse. These verses are very important.
And that was an abbreviation of the one big seminar.
So victory. It says Jayati. Victory means for one who takes shelter of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the holy name, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. These three will take you back to Godhead. If you take shelter of Vrindavan, the holy name of Krishna, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you'll go back home, back to Godhead. You don't need anything else. These three are enough. Right. And then to that you can add the other two angas that Lord Chaitanya gave us, right? Which is worshipping the deity, right? And associating with pure devotees. So those five, they can take you back to Godhead. That's how powerful they are. So then it says that Krishna is Yashoda Nandana. Krishna Thakurai Thakur points out, he is Yashoda Nandana. That is his original form. And that form is the source of everything else. That he is the supreme personality of Godhead. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, that is the original form of Krishna. That is the source of everything.
He never leaves Vrindavan.
And he never leaves Vrindavan.
Devaki Nandana is also Yashoda Nandana.
What's that?
Krishna Sakura Kapha points out that Yashoda has another name for this deity.
Yeah, so you can.
Everything of them is also Yashoda.
Yeah, you can take it that way also. Yeah. And If you die in the holy dung, then you will receive the highest benediction. So either you have to die in the holy dung, or you have to be conscious of the holy dung when you leave this world. And then if you're conscious of the holy dung, you will go back to Goloka, back to Krishna. Okay. To protect the principles of devotional service to himself, Lord Krishna, the best of the Yadus, accepts the pastime forms that have been glorified here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who desires to faithfully serve his lotus feet should hear of the activities he performs in each of these incarnations, activities that suitably imitate those of the forms he assumes. Hearing narrations of these pastimes destroys the reactions to fruitive work. By regularly hearing, this is the last verse of the 10th canto. By regularly hearing, so this is called Shruti Phal. This is your benediction. If you've studied for the last 3.5 years, the 10th canto, this is your benediction. By regularly hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda, with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. For this purpose, many persons, including great kings, abandoned their mundane homes and took to the forest. So this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you absorb yourself in Shravana and Kirtana, then you will get the goal of Vishnu Smarana. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's the goal. Vishnu Smarana, to remember Krishna. Right? How does that come about? By hearing and chanting. So the more you hear and chant, you will remember Krishna. That is the goal. If you remember Krishna, you won't take birth again in this material world. That is the system. If you want to know how to get out of this material world, hands up if you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, then this is, if you study this verse, the answer is given. You have to hear and chant and learn to remember Krishna. Then you will go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And then it says that you have to become, or you have to be prepared to renounce everything in this world. Right? Like Maharaj Priyavrata, you go back in the Bhagavatam. He renounced this world. Right? So you have to be willing to give up all of your material desires and attachments and serve Krishna exclusively. If you give up everything, then you can go back to the spiritual world. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Akita.